Welcome back to the Ryan Kelly Morning After. Now, back to Tim, Jim, and Doug, live from the Gateway Buick GMC Studios on the all-new 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.
Oh, it's my theme song. Well, this was my theme song. Now my theme song, as you know, is cool like that. Diggable Planets. 92? 93?
I don't know the years. Don't pay attention to the years.
It's Ryan Kelly Morning After. This is 590 The Fan KFNS. We're in the Gateway Buick GMC Studios. Gateway the right way at I-270 McDonald Boulevard online. It's stlouisbuickgmc.com. Need a new whip? Need an old whip? Need a used whip? Need service on your whip? I-270 McDonald Boulevard or online at stlouisbuickgmc.com. It's Gateway, and it is the right way. If you want to support the sponsors, make sure that when the time comes to get a new car or to get a used car or to get your car serviced, you go to Gateway Buick GMC. Gabe DeArmond with us in the 7 o'clock hour. In this 8 o'clock hour, brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient Viagra, offering the same results. Both massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicine or Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. We are going to be joined by Clay Travis at 8:15 on his thoughts on Konzo Martin. And then at 9:15, Kelly Chase on the Blues loss last night in Anaheim. There's some audio that the Sea Monster's all excited about.
What is it?
Are you aware of this, Plowhawk?
Yes, sir.
Doug, would you like to?
Well, what is the audio? Sure, I'd like to hear any audio.
One hey, thing. What's going on?
What's going on? I'm loving it.
You love this stuff.
Huh? I'm loving it.
Where are you from?
Pennsylvania originally.
So finally got a little snow.
Yeah.
This is awesome.
I never got to see it when I was locked up earlier this year.
What's your name?
Paul Willis.
So you're out in the fresh air.
Yes, I am.
I love it. How much more do you want? A lot of snow?
Oh, no more.
No more snow.
No more.
All right. Have you shoveled yet?
No.
Are you going to shovel?
No.
Why not?
Because I don't live in this county. I live in PG. Say, sir.
All right, man. High five for the snow day.
Yeah.
All right. Go on.
Put me on the TV.
We are. We definitely are going to put you on TV.
He kind of glossed over the part where the guy got locked up. That was a TV news live shot?
I would imagine in the Northeast.
I would think.
Blizzard-like conditions?
Yeah.
In D.C.
Washington, D.C.
You don't consider D.C. the Northeast. You consider the Beltway, the Mid-Atlantic.
Yeah. It doesn't feel like the Northeast quadrant, although it's close.
What was that? I still don't really. What was
I assume it was a TV live shot.
It was a guy. There was nobody around, and they were doing live shots for Storm Watch or Storm Coverage, like all local news affiliates do. And he found this drunk guy stumbling along with a Phillies hat, and this guy couldn't even finish like one sentence. And then, I agree that he glossed over the locked up part. I would have asked a follow up to that.
Yeah, I would think so. What were we in for?
It happens. Sometimes you interview people and they talk about drugs in the bathroom.
Yeah. Seen that before.
Well, I didn't like your tone, mister.
Well, I remember we saw that before.
Good stuff.
Yeah.
Pennsylvania.
Was that last year or the year before?
I think last year.
Well, I'm glad we didn't get that snow in here. I'm really anti-snow, and I'm pro-global warming. I want it warmer.
Oceans to rise about 10 feet or
That'd
so.
That'd be fine. Yeah, we'd still be on dry land here.
That's all that matters.
It would hit the Rocky Mountains and
it
probably
stop. It
seems
a little selfish. I'm not trying to judge, but
if it gets too hot, we can move to Montana. Alaska's a big state that's going mostly unused. I hate the cold. Hate it.
Why don't you stay in Florida?
Well, the people are an issue there in Florida, South Florida. A little rough.
I don't know, man. That's where I want to move.
Well, but not Miami, I'm guessing. Parts of Florida
Palm
are great.
Beach County.
Yeah, that's a different neck of the story than Miami.
Woods, nape of the way. What are you doing here?
Well, Miami.
We had plans to buy a condo together right around the ballpark in Jupiter. And Doug, you would start your senior citizen shuttle service.
Anyone need a ride to the pool pack?
Tim would gamble. And I would predict that the Cardinals would win every spring training game 42-0.
I like that.
So we all have jobs.
I saw people arguing yesterday on Twitter, I believe it was, that the Cardinals can't be very good if they'd lost to the Twins yesterday.
Oh, my God. Who do you follow on Twitter?
I don't know where that came up. Yeah, one of the worst teams in the league. Beat the Cardinals 8-0. What does that say about the kind of season it's going to be?
Spring training games are very important.
I think so.
Especially at the end of games when they're tied, they just stop.
Mm-hmm. We've had enough. In fact, the outcome is so important, we don't care about it.
I used to, as a young tyke, and perhaps even in my 20s, look for the spring training standings. And I don't want to say I got worked up. I just would monitor it, which is, you know, speaking to how much sex I was having. But now with the fact that a lot of teams just shutter down when it's tied, does anybody even keep track of standings anymore?
Yeah, they're out there.
Are they out there?
Yeah. Right. Last time I looked, the Cardinals were third in the Grapefruit League.
Wow.
10-4-3, third place.
It's like a hockey standing.
So I guess it'd be 10-5-3.
And when guys are like hitting well or pitching well, like Matt Adams is having he's gotten hot. That's real. But when a guy you like is not playing well.
He's
like
just Piscotti, testing. He's testing some things.
Spring training. So you can put whatever meaning you want into spring training.
He's working. For everybody listening out there, I mean, you think I'm being unreasonable? It's the first week of the season. I mean, you guys, I don't understand this. Are you going to tell me? Who are you going to tell me? You're going to tell me that Yadier doesn't drive in big runs? You're going to tell me Albert can't hit? You're going to tell me the second baseman shortstops haven't hit? David Freese, you don't think he's going to hit? You think Matt's going to hit? You think Kobe's going to hit? You think Berkman's going to hit? The answer is no to all those things? I mean, you get me. Is that what you accomplish your goal 3-4 times? You ask so I get excited and get upset? I mean, that's not fair. It really isn't.
He's a beauty.
Well, that team went on to do nothing.
He's a beauty.
Outside of win the World Series.
Sorry, Skipper.
It's very warm between my quivering legs, Doug. It's from the other Fat Ellen. Guess that's an option if it's too cold for you.
Did you enjoy your, you went to a spring training game. Isn't that fun? I mean, it's not like it was just for the event. I went with my wife and kid. I don't get to see a ton of them. I saw a few. It's fun. The atmosphere's great.
It's fun to get out, do a little people watching, soak in the sun, and then about four innings later, you go, okay, I've about had enough of this.
I think most of the players feel that way also. You get that.
It's better than sitting and doing nothing, that's for sure. It's not the most entertaining sports event that you'll ever go to.
I'm sure when I have a tie, okay. I will be super excited to take him to Cardinal games.
Yeah, all the stuff.
At this point in my life, I am kind of not interested anymore. That's where I am.
In spring games.
Yeah.
All games.
Yeah. I'm kind of moving off sports.
I find myself doing the same thing.
And fortunately, we're in a position with this thing that we can kind of do what we want. That's now, some weird things get me worked up, but not really that much.
That's weird because you're expecting, so you don't have one. Your kids are older now. And I'm finding myself more watching more different sports and watching closer, I think, because of my kid.
Yeah, because they get excited about it. I'm still very much into the Cardinals and the Blues, but beyond that, not so much. You know, it's been such a rough couple of years at Mizzou, and St. Louis U hadn't done anything in basketball for a while. That's kind of cost my interest in college football and college basketball. And then the Rams leaving kind of soured me on the NFL.
Don't you think, though?
I don't have an NBA team to root for, so I don't really care about that.
But it's going to change for you because Mizzou's going to get better, with Martin. And St. Louis has already had a good recruiting class
that they're lining up
a new head coach. I think they'll be back on the map.
Oh, yeah.
Times are changing.
Because I was totally into Billiken basketball when they had that good run there 3 years in a row. Yeah, it was fun.
And a great place to go watch a game.
Mm-hmm.
You'll take your son. What are you going to name your child?
I don't want to say anything. Fine. Lil Darnell.
Darnell, yeah.
Lil Darnell.
That was determined a long time ago.
Oh, no, we gave him another name.
Flossie?
That was my grandmother.
Tim, I think for you, your popularity, you could have a diaper party at one of the sponsored locations.
Stop. Are you getting into a live read or just some fetish play, bro?
No, I'm just saying.
Your child is Flozell. We named him Flozell.
You had already forgotten.
If little Flozell Darnell McKernan needs diapers, which he or she will.
That's a matter of opinion, right?
You could get a lot of listeners bringing in packs of diapers. You'd probably be set up for a couple of years.
I'm sure Tim's babies will be toilet trained right out of the womb.
We're working on that.
I just look forward to watching a Billiken game on Fox Sports Midwest. There's Dan McLaughlin on the call. They pan the crowd, and Dan says, And there's a local broadcast hero, Tim McKernan, and his son, Flo Zellen. Both of you are holding up those big foam number one fingers mm-hmm. into the camera.
Yeah, I could see that happening easily.
And then you text Anne-Marie and you say, hey, get a shot of this, get a screenshot, and we'll scrapbook it.
Yep, scrapbook that.
Because she won't be going to the games.
Right.
She's home doing, washing the child's clothing.
Right. I think that's how it all works.
Yeah. She'll have to stay at home.
Yep, they're going to change for you, and things are going to change for this Missouri program and this Billikens program, Doug.
It's really, you
and
know
you
what
and
it
I
is?
Are just getting older.
Doug, yes, you know what it is? It's a fresh start.
Well, the starts in both cases are about as promising as you could hope for, with Travis Ford getting just about every... Oh, you didn't want me to go in that direction.
I thought I was setting you up. I thought at this, you know, I tell people I could play this role of point guard blindfolded, and I know where you guys are, and here's an example of I passed the ball, and it went out of bounds. Oh, but honestly, it's on you. I
was just really happy that Ford's got the guys he wants, and Martin might get the best player in the country.
But what about divorce attorneys?
Oh, now in divorce attorneys, I know where you could go there.
Fresh start?
Anna Marie is probably going to say, if I don't get to go to the Billiken games,
you think that's,
you know,
gonna...
what? It's about time to call this off.
I'm not scrapbooking anymore, Tim.
And you'll probably say the same thing. So it'll be a non-contested divorce, which fits nicely into what attorney Brent Lance does. He's with Fresh Start Alternative Divorce Services. Now, he handles only non-contested divorces, like what the McKernans are going to go through. And it'll be a low, flat fee. And, you know, they can stop bickering about the Billiken basketball completely because they'll no longer be married. They're motivated to see that you resolve things quickly on your agreed-upon terms in a very short period of time. And the reason why you would do that is it could save you $10,000, $20,000, maybe more. Most attorneys are going to want a retainer, and they'll use that up very quickly, and then they're going to bill you hourly while you fight, and many times you end up in the same place as most others who didn't fight it out. So do yourself a favor and start at Fresh Start Divorces. .com. The average case can get done in about 45 to 60 days. And for the average person, this is only going to cost you maybe about a week's pay. It's not going to be pleasant, of course. It never is. But this is a way so that it doesn't have to just bankrupt both parties. Valuable information on the process and the types of things you're going to need to know are at freshstartdivorces.com or the phone number 636-928-0444 to set up an appointment. If you can get together and go to the Billiken game together, maybe you won't need the services. But if you do, contact attorney Brent Lance with Fresh Start Alternative Divorce.
This whole thing revolves around a Billiken game. It seems like a little much.
Well, it starts small.
Yeah.
Sometimes it starts with a small thing and you realize that you're not compatible.
Earlier in the day, you didn't put the seat back down, so there was a little friction. Then you take Flo Zell to the Billikens game without asking Anna Marie if she wants to go. And next thing you know, Splitsville.
God. Well, that's...
It can happen that quick.
She was a big Jimmy Cruz fan.
And don't let me down, Jimmy Cruz.
She kind of lost her desire to go to Billiken
don't
games.
Don't let me down,
Cruz
Jimmy Cruz.
Well, Jimmy Cruz, don't let me down, Jimmy. I've got you beating Louisville tournament.
Hopefully that won't happen, and you just enjoy good times.
Thank you.
Yeah, that's not where we
good
were
tidings.
Going.
The 8 o'clock hour is brought to you, Doug, by Sildenafil. The same active ingredient, Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith MediCenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. That's 314-432-5020. You can call in. You can text in at 855-CUB-TALK, 855-CUB-TALK. Or you can email in for our Hot Shots email today. A free Lemmings lunch from Hot Shots is the prize for our email today. The morning after at InsideSTL.com. Watching some games at Hot Shots wouldn't be a bad play today. I know a lot of people like to take the day off and settle in, and they bring up their brackets and they watch a tournament. And the tournament starts today at 11 o'clock.
Yeah, what time was that?
11 o'clock.
A cock. Okay.
Clip that off.
All right.
I filled out brackets because we have the one on InsideSTL.com,
yeah.
And then I'm usually in the St. Gabriel pool, and I love the St. Gabriel pool, as you can imagine.
Who won that this year?
Mm.
Yeah, I assume it's rigged.
But this year and last year, I really haven't gotten into it. And I don't know if I'm past it, which is an odd thing.
No, it's because the basketball stinks so badly here.
God, I don't know. I just
You'll
feel like
back.
College basketball. I don't know. I'm
You'll
curious.
Get back.
You know what? Here's a... Because you guys always say it's because of the local thing. I don't know. I feel like, and this is a perfect person to ask. I feel like if you were, let me ask you that before I put Clay on, and then this will give Clay time.
Stay
to think
put,
about
Clay.
It.
Don't go anywhere.
He's going to be joining us in seconds on the Appliance Discounter phone lines. If you had to, if each sport were a stock, the NFL, Major League Baseball, NHL, NBA, college football, and college basketball, and you were to look at 20-year trends for all six, I would say the one that has gone up the most over the last two decades is college football, and the one that has gone down the most over the last two decades is college basketball. Would you agree with that?
No. If you're talking just from the health of the sport and not our own local perspective.
Yeah, well, that's what I'm talking about.
I just think the tournament is so exciting that will always save it. Yeah, the regular season, I think
one-and-dones have led to a lack of identity for fans with college basketball teams, both with their own and then across the game, and I think it has trended down the most. I think college football has exponentially grown over the
last. I just think March Madness is such a great thing, and everyone seems to get on board. And even if you just take a peek at a game, somehow it'll draw you in. Then you watch another, and then you're kind of into it.
March Madness is fun, but that's, 3 weeks? The regular season is boring.
See what Clay thinks. Clay's in Las Vegas. He just did a radio show. Let me get him on. Clay, good morning.
Hey, how are y'all?
What did you think of that? Do you agree with that?
You know, I might argue the NFL has exceeded college football in the growth over the last 20 years if you look at the rise of fantasy football, because I think that's kind of been the primary driving force behind the NFL. And so if you think about what fantasy football was in 1997, you know, the Yahoos of the world, I don't think really had even set up like online scoring. So if you played fantasy football in 1997, guys had to hand score it, and that was a lot more complicated. So I think NFL is probably one. I think that college football is two. And I think I agree with you that the college basketball has declined precipitously. And I started my show off the other day saying I had two recipes that I thought would make college basketball kind of come back into the national conversation. One was, I think at 18 years old, you should be able to go straight to the NBA. And this is a little bit unfair because it's not the NCAA's rule about eligibility. But if you look at LeBron, if you look at Kobe, if you look at Kevin Garnett, there are lots of guys that went straight to the league and did very well. And so I think if you want to go pro at 18, that's fine. But then if you don't, you have to stay 3 years like Major League Baseball. I think that would be a great rule if the NBA cared about the strength of the college game at all. And then the other thing I would do is I would make college basketball a one-semester sport, and I would start college basketball the day after college football ends. So college football ends with the title game on that Monday night, January 9th or thereabouts. I would start college basketball on January 10th, and I would play the NCAA tournament in May. And then that would get college basketball out of the college football and NFL shadow.
Huh, I like that idea. I think that's a good play. I mean, you do have 2 months of just operating essentially in obscurity minus some holiday tournaments.
Mm-hmm.
That is the truth. Clay, one of the reasons we wanted to get you on is because even when Konzo Martin was at Tennessee, you were quite critical of him. And I can tell you this, and I don't know if you are aware of it or not. I know you're in Las Vegas, and therefore I would hope you're not really paying much attention to what's going on in St. Louis, Kansas City, and Columbia. But I posed this on Twitter. I have about 1,000 votes. Just posted it about an hour ago. Are you happy with Mizzou's hiring of Konzo Martin? 86% say yes. What would you say to those 86%, sir?
I don't think Konzo Martin is that good of a coach. And certainly I don't think at the reported rate of 7 years, $21 million, that there's any way that Konzo Martin is that high caliber of a coach. He took over a Tennessee program that was in pretty good shape. I mean, they'd been to 6 straight NCAA tournaments. Obviously, Bruce Pearl and his NCAA transgressions were a cloud, but the quality of the player was not bad. And he managed to go to the NCAA tournament once. Tennessee fans wanted him fired after his third year. He got in as a play-in coach, and he had top 15 or 16 talent that year. And consistently, his teams did not start the year well, and that seems to have been the case at Cal every year as well. And then they tried to scramble and catch up in February and March to see whether or not they could make the tournament. And again, I mean, he would not have made the NCAA tournament at Tennessee but for the play-in game factor, and he had 3 NBA players starting on that Tennessee team. They beat Iowa A lot of people are like, oh, well, he went to the Sweet 16. Well, they beat Iowa. It might have been in double overtime. It was certainly in overtime, if I remember correctly. It might have been double OT. And then he also got a lucky draw. He got UMass, who his team was favored to beat, even though they were the 11 seed. And then Mercer upset Duke, so he beat Mercer. And that's how he ended up in the Sweet 16. That's the only NCAA tournament wins he has in 9 years as a head coach. So I think Colin, the challenging thing about Konzo Martin is his team doesn't play that exciting of a brand of basketball. Even when he has managed to get good recruits in, the team has not played that well around them. I just think he's an overrated coach. And now he may be better than what Missouri has had over the past several years. But I think if you're a Missouri fan, what you should prepare for is a team that you have high expectations for that never lives up to them.
Well, that's nice. That's something to look forward to.
That's why we wanted to get Clay on, right? Because he's outspoken on this, and he has been outspoken on this from going back 3-4 years, Clay. How much of what was going on in Knoxville and around the state of Tennessee was rooted in people wanting Bruce Pearl back?
I think that's almost 100% of it.
Really?
And I think, again, I mean, Bruce Pearl went to 6 straight NCAA tournaments at Tennessee and had Tennessee all the way to the number one in the nation. He almost took Tennessee to the Final Four. He had them in the Elite Eight just a couple of years before he was gone. And I think, you know, the recruits that he had committed and that Konzo Martin managed to still kind of end up with were recruits that would have kept Tennessee in the NCAA tournament for years to come. And if Bruce Pearl just doesn't lie about a stupid thing to lie about, which was the barbecue at his house, which is now not an NCAA violation, then Konzo Martin would have never gotten hired. But I think you went from Bruce Pearl bringing in 20,000 people to the arena every night to kind of a total love affair to Konzo Martin's teams never quite living up to expectations. And that third year, that was a really, really frustrating team to watch. They should have been a lot better than they were, and they got finally a fortunate draw in the NCAA tournament. But you never felt like Konzo Martin's team was playing at a consistent level.
Hey,
and that was really frustrating. And then offensively, they were really boring to watch at times, most of the time. And so Tennessee fans wanted Bruce Pearl back. And Konzo Martin, if he hadn't gotten into the tournament, I think he would have gotten fired if he had lost to Iowa. I think that's where Tennessee was. He won that game in the play-in game in overtime and then got offered an extension, but Tennessee didn't offer him a raise at all. And so he skipped town and went to Cal. And I think a lot of Cal fans would say, you know, he brought in some decent players, but he didn't live up to expectations at Cal either. And now he's skipping town there and headed to Missouri. So maybe Missouri will be a place where he can finally win, where he can finally go to more than one NCAA tournament every 3 years at a major program. If that's Missouri standard, then maybe Konzo will be fine.
Does your opinion change at all? And it does sound like, in fairness, because I'm sure plenty of Missouri fans are hating hearing this, but in fairness, your opinion is not rooted in today. It's rooted in what you followed when you were watching him coach at Tennessee and then also citing data now at Cal. But with Konzo coming to Columbia, some people's opinions may have changed. Like Gabe DeArmond from PowerMizzou.com, who's our guest in the 7 o'clock hour, saying that, you know, this is a B or B minus higher if you just isolate it, but with the Porters potentially coming to Columbia and the top recruit in the country coming to Columbia, that changes some things for some people. Does that change things for you?
I think it depends on what your expectations are. Konzo Martin's history, no matter how good the players he has had on his team, has been that in late February, you're unsure whether the team's going to make the NCAA tournament or not. That's been the case for every year. And, you know, he couldn't seal the deal when he was had the best teams in the small conference. He couldn't win his tournament. And Tennessee was very fortunate to get in as one of the final teams that got in as a play-in in his third year. Again, if they don't get in as a play-in, I think that Tennessee fires Konzo Martin. And I don't know where he goes. I mean, he left a really, really bad, completely empty cupboard at the University of Tennessee that they've tried to rebuild ever since. And so it wasn't just that Konzo wasn't doing well, it's that he wasn't bringing in very good players. Now, obviously he got to Cal and had a couple of NBA players that he was able to recruit. And if he's able to recruit high-level players at Missouri, then I would think he has the potential to get them into the tournament. There's no point of me that I ever watched Konzo Martin and thought, this guy is a top 10 level coach in college basketball. And I watched every game that his team's played at Tennessee. And we had him on the show a lot. I don't dislike him. I think he's a nice guy. I think he's a likable guy. I just don't think that he is an upper echelon college basketball coach.
There are some guys that I feel Missouri just wasn't going to get, even though Missouri fans might not believe that or want to hear it. Of the guys who were available, what direction would you have gone if not Martin?
I mean, I don't know if Missouri could have gotten him, but I mean, I think there's a big difference between Greg Marshall and Konzo Martin, right? And I don't know what Missouri would have had to pay or even if they were able to even consider Greg Marshall. But I think if you're going to pay a guy a lot of money, and $3 million is a lot of money for a college basketball coach, then seeing if Greg Marshall would be interested in making that move makes a lot of sense. Like in general, I think what you're hitting on is a challenging question, right? By and large, most guys who are successful these days in both football and basketball really don't want to move. And certainly that's the case in basketball, where Greg Marshall looks around and says, I got a one seed at Wichita State. Why do I need to go anywhere else? And Mark Few looks around at Gonzaga and says, I got a one seed. Why do I need to go anywhere? And so that's a challenge, certainly, in college basketball. You either have to go with a guy who is able to move or willing to move, like Konzo Martin. And again, I think he went to Cal not because he wanted incredibly to go to Cal. I think he was trying to get out of Knoxville before he got fired. And I think if you had a ton of Tennessee fans on right now to talk about that, they would say that they were not sad to see him go. And that's people who watched him coach in the SEC for 3 years and not live up to the overall talent that surrounded his team. And again, is it partly reflected as well that he followed Bruce Pearl? Yeah, I think so. But the success level of Tennessee athletics when it comes to basketball, I mean, this is a team, I think I'm correct, that has been to five Sweet 16s since 2000. So they've had some decent number of success, to an Elite Eight. And every coach that has coached for more than 2 years, other than Buzz Peterson, has gone to the Sweet 16 at Tennessee.
You think there's a chance that Missouri, by hiring Martin, was thinking, well, we hire Martin, we're going to get Porter, and we'll be instantly much better, at the risk of knowing that that's just a short-term fix, and that, you know, where are they going to be 2 or 3 years down the road? That might be when they hit their problems?
Well, I mean, look, if Missouri, you guys know what the attendance figures were better than me. I mean, this was a program that was totally without much fan support. So if you bring in a lottery pick, if that can happen, and I don't know, I've seen conflicting tweets about whether Porter signed his national letter of intent with Washington or not. If he is able to come to Missouri, then that at least gives you an immediate interjection of energy. The problem is he's only there for a year. And we've seen already in the SEC that having one of the best players doesn't necessarily mean for 1 year that you're going to be outstanding. I mean, look at what happened with LSU. I think LSU certainly went with that direction with Johnny Jones, and it ended up being a disaster for them. So I don't think Konzo Martin's going to be a disaster. I just think he's going to be a thoroughly mediocre coach.
Clay Travis is our guest right now here on the Ryan Kelly Morning After. He's host of Outkick, the coverage on Fox Sports Radio from 5 a.m. to 8 a.m. Central. And then he's on Periscope and Facebook Live daily at 3 p.m. Central. Read him online at outkickthecoverage.com. And he's joining us from Las Vegas. So you're out in Las Vegas right now. You're doing your show at 3 in the morning out there earlier today?
I just did it, yeah. I got up. It's the first time I've ever been sober in Las Vegas at 3 a.m. I finished my show and literally was walking back into my hotel room to get a couple of hours of sleep before the games tip off out here, I think at 9:15 Pacific time.
Wow, man, that had to be crazy. How much sleep did you get before getting up and doing the show at 3 a.m.?
I didn't sleep. This is I've done several all-nighters with a show that starts as early as mine, but this was a challenging one because I flew, I did my show from 5 to 8 a.m. local time in Nashville. Then I got some writing done and then hopped a flight to fly cross country. And then I had two different speaking engagements out here. So I spoke to a group at Caesars and then a private equity group, got back to my hotel around 11. And, there wasn't, when you get into your hotel and, by the time you're in bed, it's midnight, like you're like, okay, what am I really gaining here?
I know.
It's always a tough call to get 2 hours of sleep or you just stay up and roll through. So I'm going to get a couple hours sleep now.
Oh, God, it sounds brutal, but I love being in Las Vegas. Where are you staying? You don't mind me asking where you're staying.
I'm at the Planet Hollywood. So it's
Doug Planet Hollywood.
They put me up in a suite. It's an underrated hotel, I think, right on the Strip. They have a great event here. They do hoops on the mezz, they call it, where they have just an incredible setup. inside their sports book that's designed entirely for March Madness. Actually, outside their sports book, they take over the whole mezzanine and turn it into college, kind of a college basketball wonderland.
So you you released on Outkick the Coverage your picks of all your picks, and you'll be in Vegas, so you'll be able to degenerate out like nobody's business today. What game stands out to you, or games that you enjoy the most and you may be moving the heaviest action on, sir?
So the two biggest bets that I have are going to be MTSU against Minnesota, and I'm a little bit scared based on all of the fact that the money has been on my side. The line has moved, I think, to MTSU as the 12 seed favored over the 5 seed Minnesota. So if people are filling out their brackets, that's one that I think is a good play. And obviously, so far the money has agreed with me. And then I think that Vanderbilt has kind of come on under Bryce Drew as the season has gone along. And I think they will beat Northwestern, who I believe will be a little bit tight in their first NCAA tournament game ever. And so those are my two picks. Now, I've watched those teams play a lot because they're local somewhat to Nashville. So when I put big money on games, I like to have watched the teams actually play a ton. And so I have a good sense for both of those teams. And I've watched Northwestern play enough games that I have a good sense, I think, on how they match up. So those are my two that I've got the biggest wagers on. But this is the fourth straight year that I will bet every first and second round game, which is pretty awesome.
God bless America. What's it like out? You know, for as much time as I spend in Las Vegas, I've never been out there for the first weekend in the NCAA tournament. What's it like out there as far as the sights and sounds and degenning?
Well, I mean, first of all, it's all dudes.
Hot.
So you know, this is not when there's a lot of single women rolling into Vegas. But if you like college basketball and you like gambling, which I imagine a lot of your audience does, I think it's better than the Super Bowl. Unless your team is in the Super Bowl, I would rather be in Vegas for March Madness than I would be at the Super Bowl. So I mean, that kind of puts into context from an American sporting consciousness how big and fun of an event it actually is.
I wouldn't mind hitting that.
And you said normally at 3 a.m. you're drunk and in a gutter somewhere?
In Vegas?
Yeah.
There's not very many times that at 3 a.m. I've been sober, I'm awake.
Yeah, what's the point of being up at 3 in the morning, Doug, if you're not messed up?
Well, I don't know. I didn't know he was that big a partier.
You come to Vegas, and if you're up at 3 a.m. and sober, I think you have some questions to answer yourself. Like,
probably.
Why did you stay up till 3 a.m.?
Sometimes you're probably just soliciting prostitution if you want me to cut to the chase.
Sometimes you get caught up in those penny slots and hours just fly by.
Oh, I'm not a slot machine player. Like, I'll play blackjack and everything else, but I'm not a slot guy. So, slot guy. slot guy, I guess. I was 100%. I mean, I was walking around. Everybody else is drunk, and I'm going in to start my day. It was definitely a strange experience walking through the Vegas casino at 2:30 in the morning to head to my studio.
Doug, at 2:30 in the morning, usually what you see, maybe from 1 to 2:30 in Las Vegas, the girls coming home who have failed on their mission, and they're carrying their heels barefoot through the casino, making their way back to the room.
Yeah,
what you see. I've seen it plenty. Clay, I know you got to get some rest. I hope you can get some rest before the tournament gets underway. Always appreciate you joining the show and giving us perspective. Thanks so much, man. Enjoy Las Vegas.
Hey, I appreciate you guys having me. Like I said, good luck to Konzo. I hope he does well. I'd like to see Missouri basketball be better than they are. But based on what I've seen so far of his teams, I just don't buy it.
That's Clay Travis. Clay, thanks so much, man.
All right, see y'all.
Peace. Bye, thank you, Clay.
Clay Travis in Las Vegas. God, yeah, that's a tough spot. Can you deal with that? Because you'll fly back from Cardinal trips with Fox Sports Midwest, and then you know you're getting up at whatever time you get up for this fine presentation, and it's like 3 in the morning. You're like, what do? But you sleep, don't you? You try to like get like a 2 hours?
I try, because I figure from what I've read about sleep, if you get even an hour or 2 hours of REM sleep, it's better than nothing, but the question is, can you really fall asleep? And if you're going to toss and turn because you know you got to get up soon, I think you're wasting your time anyway. So you got to make that decision, can I fall asleep if I lay down now? It's hard.
Yeah, well, I could. I'm an Olympic caliber sleeper. I think the thing to do is get to sleep whenever you can. It's the same principle about grabbing a nap during the middle of the day. If you can get it and get 15, 20 minutes, that'll help you.
Yeah. I usually feel worse after I nap. And I hate that, but I usually do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
However, I agree with that. However, I do find myself, if I do get even a short nap, later in the day I feel better because I got a little bit of sleep in there.
Yeah.
You know, it's a rough business we're in. I mean, it's not for the faint of heart, let me tell you.
Yeah, boy, that's true.
I mean, you come in here and you sit here for 3 hours.
And ooh, you talk and you think, ooh, you think hard on a show like this.
Thank you
not
for saying it.
Not everyone could do it.
Not to mention the preparation that has gone into it.
Tell me about Maryland.
Well, Maryland's an interesting club. They've had, you know, they've been through some things there. And if they can just stay healthy, if they can stay healthy and hit some free throws, you know, you got to hit your free throws, especially down the stretch. You need some seniors to step up at this point. And they've had that on and off. So I think we can expect the unexpected from Maryland. There's a good chance that they can win, and there's a chance that they could lose this.
Let me see. Let me get to that.
Pretty good, Doug.
Now, it's not like Iowa State, where Iowa State is a club that, you know, they've recruited some good kids. They are fairly athletic. I think they're pretty well coached. And this is a club that will guard you. They will try to guard you. They will try to take away the three. They'll try to take away the two. They'll try to take away your free throws. And if they can keep you off the scoreboard, if Iowa State can outscore you, they're a threat to win.
With several million hardcover and paperback books acting as trailers, Paramount's film version of Mario Puzo's sprawling gangland novel, The Godfather, has a large pre-sold audience. This will bolster the potential for the film, which has an outstanding performance by Al Pacino and a strong characterization by Marlon Brando in the title role. It also has excellent production value, flashes of excitement, and a well-picked cast. But it is also overlong at 175 minutes and occasionally confusing. While never so placid as to be boring, it is never so gripping as to be superior screen drama.
Says who?
That's Variety's review of The Godfather on March 7th, 1972.
Mm. I never found it confusing.
Well, there are some things that you pick up after you've watched it five or six times.
Like how well hung Sonny is.
Well, I didn't see
you
that.
You got to read the book.
I didn't see it's that scene. But there are some things that kind of happen that you might not have picked up on the first time you watch it.
You know, there's not even a placard for Mo Green.
I think that was Godfather 2.
Not even a single placard.
He got shot right in the eye.
Doug, I'm on season 5 of Cheers and Ted Danson keeps getting hotter. What's the deal? Thanks, Bungie Diamonds Priest.
Well, you're getting more and more gay. That's the deal.
Ted Danson was all the rage in the 80s. Women wanted to be with him. Men wanted to
be him.
Right.
Something like that.
I would play that drop, but Frank doesn't want me to play it anymore.
Why? All the more reason to play it. Play the hell out of the drop.
Did Frank say, don't play it?
Yeah, I guess a little disrespectful to the great Arnold Palmer, I would understand.
Doug, the Arnold Palmer Invitational teeing off hours ago at Bay Hill. Not the same without the king.
No. But could we hear once, Blousy?
If you don't want it to be played.
I respect Frank and his decision.
Doug, just like you don't like the Photoshop, so I've made it clear to the fan pinners, no Photoshop. Frank doesn't want the drop played.
Yeah. It's quite a turnaround for you because we played it a couple times and then you would play it like 17 times in a row.
I think Frank realized, hey, this has become a trend, and I'm going to eliminate that, which is fine. There are plenty of other Frank drops that we have.
Did he threaten you?
He get in there?
Not at all.
He delete that, did he?
No. I just respect his decision.
But Arnold Palmer isn't mentioned in the drop, so we know it was about Arnold Palmer. But
that is true.
Yeah, I'm not so. But if Frank doesn't want to play it, we shouldn't play it. And then if Frank comes to you and he says, I know a couple of guys. Vinny Bumbats could drop by the station. You cease and desist immediately.
Frank has mob ties?
I didn't say that. He just knows a couple of guys.
Okay.
Hey, guys, have you noticed that Plowboy says breakfast instead of breakfast? Thanks. I'll hang up and listen. That's from Dr. Joseph Gerbils.
Did you say breakfast?
Breakfast.
Oh, that sounds all right to me. Yeah.
Doug, if you feel bad after taking a nap, then you're taking too long of a nap. Thanks. 314.
Okay.
You ever take one of those quick naps, you wake up and you don't know where you are? You're like, what?
Yeah, sometimes. Usually when I'm on the road.
And then you turn like, to the guy next to you and you go, who are you?
Yeah, what's this all about?
Doug?
Why am I in a sea of condoms?
Oh.
I'm just joking. We're barebacking.
Jiminy Christmas.
And why is Doug kneeling at the foot of the bed?
Yeah, that's okay. It's okay to say that, but don't play the drop.
Oh, wow.
Do you set your alarm when you take a nap? Because normally I'll do it for a couple hours because I want to get up and eat. If I take a nap at like 3 or 4, I'll set it for 5 or 6 to get up and eat dinner. And 2 weeks ago, I didn't.
Oh,
I took a nap at 4. I woke up at 1 o'clock in the morning.
Oh, that's bad.
I slept for 9 hours. Now what do I do?
Yes, that's bad.
I couldn't do that.
And then you won't feel, you'll feel brutal the next day.
Yeah, it was. I couldn't get back to a normal routine.
My thought process, I'll grind, like today, like for whatever reason, I couldn't get a sleep last night.
I know some.
Actually, the cat knows the reason.
It'll be in the book.
Yeah, heck. So I'm exhausted today, and I'd love to take a nap, even though that tournament will be called by Dave. But I feel like, oh, I'll get a good night's sleep tonight. I just got to grind through today. I got to grind through.
You're going to watch the tournament?
I guess. Yeah, I don't know.
You know what you do? You get some salmon and you sail in.
I had that yesterday. Doug, I met with some listeners yesterday.
About the salmon?
No, one guy had all kinds of ideas for the business, and it was intriguing. Matthew was his name.
Matt, who bowls at Hank's.
No, but you invited him. He no-showed me.
Did he? He's bowling.
I invited him because he's a great American.
And then I'm supposed to be playing golf with listeners Tuesday. Matthew Ehrenreich, Patriot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Matthew Kevin, Iggy. Is he one of the...
Oh, great.
Yeah, he's one of the two first-name guys.
One of the two first-name guys. I thought there was six.
Well, he's one of them.
But I thought you said there were two.
Two first name guys.
Ah, two first name guys. There are six.
I think there's seven now.
Guys.
I think there's
Timmy.
They expanded
seven now. Yes.
Timmy, let me take some off your.
And then also, Doug, Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man. If you want to join us for a five-some, we can go to Ruth Park instead of Gateway.
I'm fine.
Can I take some off your plate? You're a busy guy. You're on the station, the parking lot, and everything. Right?
Let me take something. That's incorrect.
Well, I read in the column.
Right.
So if I'm wrong, blame my sources. So you have a lot on your plate. Let me handle the lunch scheduling, and let me just maybe make a little income off that.
Yes, charge the listeners to have lunch with you.
Yes, and I'll take a small cut.
Donations,
what's your cut?
Donations welcome.
Industry standard for I call it a lunch attaché. Lunch attaché. I thought about this for a long time. It hit me like a bolt of lightning, and I thought I'll call it a lunch attaché. Yeah. And I'll charge 90%.
Okay.
And, of course, you provide the food and the fellowship, and I will charge the listeners, and I will set that up. I'll go, Tim, today you have 17 people joining you for lunch, and I'm going to be gone for a week as I'm buying a place on the beach in Southern California.
Okay. So you want 90%?
Yeah. And Tim gets a handsome 10% to merely pay for the lunch.
Yeah. Is there any way I could get 5%?
And I already thought this out, $79.99 for lunch with Tim. And we're going to book him at least 15 at a time every day.
That's less than $80.
And I'm also going to throw in, I'm making up a Tim McKernan t-shirt. I lunched with Tim. Ooh. And I'll handle the costs on that.
Make coupons, maybe have like, you know, you get lunch with Tim for $100, but he also, you know, owes you two hot takes your choosing.
Yeah. It's normally $160 value, but now, if you act now,
and you get the two hot takes for free.
And if the business picks up as a way to expand, because you have to look at a business twofold, how do we build it now and where does it go in the future? Tim, you know this.
Right.
We cut Doug in for some of the action where we pay you a fee to greet the listeners. And you will be dressed in very tight jean shorts and cowboy boots.
Of course.
Yeah. And we'll cut you in.
How much? What should we get?
$12 to $15 a pop.
Okay. Yeah.
Ask for $8.
Now, when you play golf with three listeners, is there a fist fight to see who sits in the cart with you?
Well, we haven't gotten there yet. I wouldn't expect that. These guys are Patriots. Doug, you know, Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic, man. I mean, all that guy's as normal as it gets.
It's disappointing.
There will be awkward positioning trying to get the seat next to Tim.
Well, I'm sure Matt Kevin will sit there because he'll spend the entire 4.5 hours trying to push his podcast on the fan page recap.
And you could see Kevin Miller calling Tim's lap as his seat.
Well,
so you could actually fit all four listeners right there. Up there in front.
Boy, once we get that, what is it? Doug, is it number 3 that's a par 5?
What course are we talking about?
Gateway National.
I have not played there.
We're kind of out of the way and maybe can...
Have some little boy time.
That's right.
Okay.
That's right.
And that's what this ruse is all about. really, isn't it?
It's not a ruse.
Someone will lose their golf ball in the woods. Oops, we better all look for it.
Injun Joe's Cave Ride Magic Man is a prospective client. Matthew Ehrenreich is a current. And Matt Kevin wants to do a podcast on the fan page.
Mm-hmm.
And when I'm saying he's not going to air it on the fan page, it'll be part of our podcast network. And he will be talking about the fan page.
And what does he want to talk? Oh, just talking about the fan page. Oh, for heaven's sake.
You're wasting the business. Don't look at Matthew or any of the others as people. You look at them as $79.99 each.
Right. Formerly $160 value.
With that, wouldn't it be, I guess it wouldn't be profitable for the station, but couldn't he just Facebook Live it on the TMA fan page and
let's
up a little stand with his iPhone or iPad and him and the CJ 6 or 7?
Don't encourage him.
You know, I'm just saying, instead of coming to a studio, you could kind of just do that from home.
You sure could.
And yeah.
In this day and age, you sure could.
Tim, yeah, you're right. It is number three. It's about a 600-yard par five. 600 yards? Well, this cat must be playing from the...
You won't be playing the tips, no.
Is it 600 yards from the tips?
I think it's... I've seen it 570-something
really?
All the way back.
Wow, wow, wow.
But yeah, that tee box is almost in the woods.
I mean, I'm white tee.
It's very
white
reachable.
Tee, and that's because I'm from South City. I get it, because white trash, right?
Okay.
That's pretty good.
600 sounds very reachable to me.
What do you reach at in two?
Absolutely. It's probably...
Driver 5-iron?
Probably have to hit the driver. I might back off a little bit, and then I'd wedge it on up to the frog's hair.
Two-putt, or are you going to...
Well, I usually sink them. So, to me, when I see that hole, I see eagle. But that's just the way I play. That's why I stopped playing, because, frankly, the courses won't hold my power.
Mm.
That seemed like a line that a texter might pick up on.
Big Hoss says, Tim, I feel like this is all a way for you to expense the golf round, Tim. Yeah. Good work. It's from Big Hoss. Actually, Matthew Ehrenreich has said he's paying for me.
Okay, bingo.
Tim, need a caddy. I'm yours for free. That's from the Sad Panda. I wouldn't mind that. Actually, wouldn't mind that.
I've never had a caddy in my life and don't want one.
Why?
It feels like slavery to me. Go get the ball. Carry the bag. Hand me this. I can't do that. Somebody.
This is from Doug's secret friend. Tell Doug I love him. So something nice.
All right. Thank you, secret friend.
You've had a big show today.
Probably a leggy blonde.
No, the name. His name is Doug's secret friend, so I don't know.
Okay.
Tim, just tap the wall on number three. There's a nice steel shed for your privacy. Thanks. It's from Ulysses S. Grant. You like when listeners suggest places to have gay sex, don't you, bro?
I just got kind of specific, like maybe he knew what was really there.
There is a bunch of like
for
empty
shed,
steel, yeah,
and it's for your privacy. I'm trying not to laugh at it because it's so stupid.
Tim, will you be showing off your calves when you play golf? Might lead to a gallery.
Doug has the giggle.
He does.
Yeah, what time are you teeing off? I'm sure a lot of people want to come out and follow the group.
I think Matthew Ehrenreich has it at 1:36. Is that right, Doug?
I don't know. But I'm sure, just like Arnie has his army, you'll have your troops. Tim's troops. And they'll follow you all over the course.
Tim's
and politely turn the other way when you head to the shed for your privacy.
That really got to you.
Doug, they refer to it as the Jack Shack. It's from Fred Astaire.
Oh, they don't.
Oh, that's not funny.
That for whatever
that,
reason.
That guy threw the line there.
That's not accurate. They don't. It's probably where they store the lawnmowers.
Are you going to giggle some more?
I probably will.
Doug, there's also a nice canopy of tree off the sixth green for some boy time.
Don't say tree.
Canopy of tree.
Does that happen? Some guys are golfing in a foursome.
And all of a sudden, they just, you know what?
They just discover
I'd
that
like
they're
to manually
that they...
pleasure the guy who just birdied. Could happen at Bay Hill this weekend.
It doesn't happen. It just doesn't.
Man, I just realized that guy in the foursome is really hot.
Yeah.
Well, there are a lot of holes out there where the cart meanders through the woods to get to the fairway or the next tee box.
That's intriguing. So. Think of the possibility.
Yeah.
God. I don't think that happens, Doug.
It doesn't happen at all.
You think it's ever happened in the history of the game of golf?
I don't think
it
has.
The guys were out playing, and all of a sudden, one guy says to the other guy, hey.
No, it has never happened.
Plowhawk, what do you think? Because I know you spent a lot of time playing golf.
Here's the funny thing. I typed gay sex on a golf course. A lot of porn hubs. This one caught my attention from manhub.com.
Manhub.
Bareback sex on a golf course, part one. Then part two as well. Quick round of golf turns into hot gay sex. That's on manhub.com. No. So I don't know.
That was the 2003 Masters.
It wasn't either.
Yeah, I think 04 actually.
No.
But yeah, so you can find it. Mickelson's. They're scripted, but you can still find that content online, Doug.
So you have to make it up. So it has never happened, and we've solved that. It's never happened.
But like, what about like in Scotland in the 15th century?
No.
Or what about old Tom Morris? They always talk about old Tom Morris.
That's not what he was about.
Maybe in Belgium?
I don't think so.
But you giggle
this stuff has never happened.
You giggle like you know a secret about it.
No, it's because it's so stupid, it's so unlikely, it's so impossible that makes it funny.
Why is it impossible? You think gay people don't play golf?
Well, not with a random guy in the
foursome. Heterosexual guys will go in with a chick. Well, John Daly's wife talks about that stuff going on at tournaments all the time in the woods.
What?
Yeah, Sherry Daly talked about...
PGA tournaments.
Yes.
What's going on in the woods?
With the golfers.
I'm not sure I buy it, Iggy.
I actually don't know what you're talking about right now.
Not golfers, but I'm saying patrons would go into the woods and...
And bang?
Yeah.
Really?
She said she saw it on one hole. I forgot what tournament she told me. But I'm saying, if you're playing golf with a chick... Hey, there's nobody around. You go in for a quickie, so you don't think gay people play golf and that would happen?
Every time you've played golf and there's been a woman in your group, you've had sex?
I didn't say every time, but you're saying it never happens.
I don't think it happens, no.
Iggy, have you had experience in this?
Now, once at a PT's tournament, but it was not sex, it was something else.
Well, what was it?
Don't ask. That's the kind of question you don't want to know the answer, Doug.
I don't think you can figure it out.
I feel like heterosex would be more common because women like to get dirty and have sex in different places.
Okay,
gay sex to me seems more like, buttoned up. So they're like, oh, no, we'll just wait till we get to the clubhouse, bathroom, or something like that instead of doing out in the woods or a shed. So I don't know. I would have to choose probably heterosexual sex happens more often at golf courses than gay sex.
Thank you for choosing that.
Well, Twitter poll.
Yes, but to say never happened, that's...
I don't think it's ever happened.
Maybe in Belgium.
I don't think Belgium. Nowhere in Brussels that I know of.
It never happens besides the last time I played with my stepdad's work buddies. Thanks, Mario in Chicago.
You imagine at the free Dotem Open if we had just an aerial camera, nice views of, shots from people overhead, and you just kind of see... Two guys in the corner in the bushes.
No, Plowsy,
you gotta get that thing closer, and then boom, gay sex.
No.
So it could happen.
Right.
It could, but it doesn't, and it's never happened.
Doug, I hooked up with Koki Adoki at the 2013 Senior PGA.
I don't think you did.
Doug, any dark horses in this first round?
Well, I tell you what, I wouldn't sleep on, I wouldn't sleep on Rhode Island. I mean, those Rams, what they were able to do in their conference and any other conference is pretty darned amazing because went through some things.
Like Timmy during the email.
He's picking a dark horse.
Yeah. What do I usually do, perform Strangers in the Night?
Yeah. I think he's listening to this show. He hears Doug break down stuff. When Timmy's searching for an email, he hums.
Doug, we got to wrap up the 8 o'clock hour. It's brought to you by Sildenafil, the same active ingredient in Viagra, offering the same results but with massive savings. To learn more, call Goldsmith Medicenter Pharmacy at 314-432-5020. Kelly Chase is going to join us from Las Vegas also. And that's coming your way here in a matter of about 15 minutes. It's presented by Petromart. And if you are looking to make picks, if Biff decides to unsuspend himself from... posting picks or me posting his picks, the place to go, and I saw somebody, I think it was one of the Sonnenberg boys, saying that they're using this. You know, the asphalt family, Doug?
Yeah, sounded like asphalt. Yeah.
Well, this is the place to go. It's called mybookie.ag. Are you sick and tired of getting the runaround when you ask for a payout? Come join MyBookie today. People always say, well, where do you bet? Well, here you go. I would only recommend a service that's been good to me and our listeners, and that's why I urge you to make your way to mybookie.ag. You win, they pay, fast and without any hassles. You're wasting your time betting anywhere else. They have in-game live betting, so you can place a bet after tip-off. Join now. You want to bet for the tournament? Join now, and MyBookie will match your first deposit with a 50% bonus. That's right. If you join with $100, you'll get an extra $50 bankroll to play with. Use promo code RADIO, simple as that, RADIO, to activate the offer. Visit MyBookie today or call 844-900-BETS, 844-900-BETS. Make sure you use the promo code RADIO to get that 50% bonus. Play, win, and get paid. MyBookie.ag. Tim McKernan, Jimmy the Cat Hayes, Doug LaSalle, and Vaughn with you. It's Ryan Kelly. Morning after.